Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne, and you're probably wondering where the "and I'm Kendra" is, but she is out of town this week with her sweet family, and so it is just me as a host in here today. But if you're watching and not just listening, you can see that I have a sweet friend and guest on today, and I will introduce her in just a second. But if you are new to this program, we are Hannah's Heart. I should have said that already. We are an infertility miscarriage podcast. That's what our main talking points are, but we definitely have grown to discuss other topics as adoption and foster care and child loss. And when you have babies that might have some disabilities, we have started covering those topics now per request of our listeners. And so we appreciate y'all for listening in today or watching today. And I want to introduce y'all to my guest. Her name is Lauren Watson. Can you say hello?
Hello.
She has actually been on before, but crazy as it sounds, it was like, what, 2.5 years ago now?
Yeah.
So she was one of our first guests, if I'm remembering right. We had not had many guests on at that time. And so she came on. That was before we were even doing video. That's what she says she's most nervous about. And I'm like, just try to act like the cameras aren't there. We have our producer, Marty, like, whatever, it's okay. He's the one over the video. But anyway, we have her on today. She's coming in to give us an update. So I encourage you to go back. I meant to see which episode she was on, but you're going to have to scroll back a few pages if you go back to our podcast page to see her first time to be on here. But we're going to start possibly a little bit from the beginning today and just let our viewers know, like, why you're on Hannah's Heart. And then if you don't mind, just catching us up where you are. 2024.
Yes, because the last time, we recorded in 21.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It came out in 22.
Wow. Yeah. So, there's been lots of life lived.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lots. So, goodness, I'll have to go far
way
back. But just to, I guess, give, of what I deal with as far as infertility is, started out just PCOS. Got that diagnosis in 2020, and then I've had a little bit more added onto that since then, with insulin resistance and just metformin and all the fun things. Yes.
So if you're new to the infertility world, or maybe you're not even part of the infertility world, but listening into this program, PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome, and it can cause lots of problems infertility-wise and other things. I mean, it causes problems with weight. You're talking about insulin resistance, so that it can honestly end up causing type 2 diabetes if you don't get it under control. And so it can cause many miscarriages. That's what my problem was with my body, miscarrying so many times so early, because something about it keeps your body from working the way it's supposed to, the way God designed it to.
Yeah, it does. And I feel like, too, over the last several years, just really understanding more of what it can cause, what it can prevent, all the things. There's so many things that it creates within your own body that you're like, how do I deal with all of these things? It seems like it's one.
Well, it's almost like you have to kind of get to, after you get that diagnosis, you kind of have to get to know yourself all over again.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I never did know that this was a cause and this this wasn't normal, mm-hmm. and this wasn't normal. Like, without, you know, going into too many details, like, my doctor, when I first got diagnosed, he was talking about, you know, your cycle every month, and I was telling him, and he was like, no, that's not normal. You shouldn't be, like, laying over in pain. And I was like, oh, that's just how it's always been.
Right.
So I didn't know that wasn't normal. And he was no.
Yeah, or not having one.
Right.
I mean, I was like, oh, well, I haven't had one in, like, months. They're like, well, that's not normal. And I was like, well, that's literally how it's been, like, since I was a teenager.
So yeah, if you're having things like that, I would encourage you to go ahead and go see a doctor. That just because the longer you do wait, the more problems PCOS does and will cause. So you got diagnosed with PCOS. What happens after that?
After that, shortly after, I started doing fertility treatments. Did a couple of rounds of Clomid. My body developed a resistance to that. So then we went to letrozole. And I did, we did one round of that. And I don't, my body just, I mean, I was in tremendous amount of pain.
With letrozole. See, I did not respond well to Clomid. Like, when people say Clomid, I still, like, cringe because of all the stuff.
My numbers went down. After three, like, after each round, the numbers kept going lower and lower. So the doctor was like, your body is resisting it, whatever it's trying to do. So then letrozole was what we thought the opposite, that it was causing hyperstimulation, but it didn't.
So you took one round of letrozole.
I did one round, and then the doctor was like, well, let's double it. And I was like, I'm okay.
Am I remembering right? That's where we left off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, so the last time that I was on, we were at the point of planning to start back treatments in January.
And we're talking, the last time she was on our program, we ended the episode with she and her husband were getting, you and your husband, were getting ready to possibly start again.
Yes, we were praying, and that was what we felt was the next step, but was not the next step.
Okay, yeah. So we decided not to do that.
Yeah, we just did not have peace that was what we needed to do.
Okay, and you haven't revisited that since?
We have not.
Okay.
We are in a waiting period.
You are. But that waiting has not been in vain. No. What else has gone on during this? Because that was 2021.
That was 21. 22, and then the first part of 23. A lot of doctor's appointments, endocrinologist, a lot, like three or four appointments in 23 alone, just trying to figure out, you know, hormones and different levels, and, you know, lots of blood drawn and
lots of blood drawn,
all of that. And so that kind of, it's really getting to, well, I guess now is really trying to focus on what can be done to better my health.
Yeah.
You know, as far as just all of the inner workings of everything, you know, just trying to, you know, get hormone levels right, get insulin right, and all of that, so that I don't become type 2 diabetic.
Do you feel like that helped going to an endocrinologist?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
And that was here in town, in Tupelo?
Yes. Okay. I absolutely love him.
Well, good.
Yes.
So during this time, though, that was 2001, 2022, right?
Yeah. And 23, and, really,
okay,
all of those.
Okay.
Yes, but in the midst of all of that, in September of 22, so my husband and I we had talked some about adoption, some about fostering, which I've talked to you about, just the, you know, the fear of all of that. And we had not, you know, we're not going to tell the Lord, no, we're not going to do, if that's the door that he chooses to open for us, we will gladly walk through that door. And so we had said, you know, if that's what God wants us to do, that's what we'll do. And in September of 2022, I was actually teaching and got a Facebook message. And so at a break, at a break time, I had checked it, and it was a friend of mine, and she's like, the very first question, the very first thing she said was, have you and Shane ever considered adoption? And there was a picture attached, and I didn't look at the picture first. I was like, I'm not going to look at the picture. I'm going to read what she has to say first, because if I look at the picture, I'm going to be hooked. Yeah. So, you know.
For sure.
And so she kind of gave me the background in that it was a little girl. She was about a year and a half. She had a lot of medical needs, and but that she needed a home. So, and there was a lot more into that. But after I read all of that, I looked at her picture and I thought, oh my goodness, beautiful.
He fell in love.
And so I said, well, let me talk to my husband, because I obviously this is not,
right.
I can't just be like, hey, yes, we'll do it.
You know? Although that's tempting.
Yeah. And so I called him fully expecting to hear No. Like, we can't do that.
You just got a Facebook message.
Yeah. And because he doesn't know this friend. This was a friend from, like, I was a teenager. And so I called him, and I was like, I got a message from, and I told him who, and I was like, there's a little girl that needs a home. There's a lot behind it, but, you know, do you even want to consider it? And like split second, he was like, yes.
Wow.
And so I mean.
You weren't expecting that.
I was freaking out. I mean, I was like, okay, this is great. Let's do this. Having no idea what was involved whatsoever. You know, just like, hey, there's a child that needs a home. We have a home.
We can do this.
Let's do it. We have absolutely nothing, but, you know. We could make.
But I think that's where the Lord wants us to sit.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that excitement, 2 days later was a big fat no. With a big fat no with possibly a chance.
Yeah. So after struggling with infertility and desiring a baby, a child, that slim chance still feels like a gap. We could still do this.
Yeah, for sure. And because she was in a foster home, a good foster home.
Okay.
But they just were not going to be able
to adopt
to adopt her,
and she was needing to be adopted.
Right, she was needing to be adopted. You know, a lot of health needs, like I had mentioned. So it was going to require, you know, it was going to require my not working, you know.
Wow.
And so that was going to be a big, you know, a big concern. So, so that was, you know, I was like, okay, if that's what God wants, we can do it. I'm a super worrier. So, you know, I was like, okay, God.
I don't know at all what this would look like.
Yeah. But then again, I was like ready to just dive right in. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just, you know, if I'm going to be in, I'm going to be all in.
Right.
So that's where we're at. But so then she's in another state. So that caused a lot of concerns with her medical needs and having doctors and everything. So the state she was in said, we really want her to stay in the state, you know. And so that was really, I was frustrated because I was like, if the child needs a home.
Right. And we're willing.
And we're willing.
And we can find new doctors, all the things.
Yeah. And so that started a whole thing of asking, okay, why did this even come?
Right.
If it wasn't even, if there nothing was going to come of it. But I did get to, you know, form a relationship with the foster mom, and she would send me pictures, and she would, she let us send a birthday present. And, you know, even though we had never met her in person, you know.
But you had fallen in love with her.
We had definitely fallen in love with her. So that was, September of 22, then April of 23 was a definite No.
Wow. But that's still months.
Yeah, that was months after. Yeah. Wow. So we were still getting, you know, we were still seeing pictures and seeing updates. And she had gone through several, you know, surgeries and all of that time. And, you know, praying for that, praying for those and praying for her to just, you know, come through and be able to just to have a life that, you know, a 2-year-old should have, right. You know, of just normal.
She's two, one of us
yeah,
two.
Yeah, so she, well, and now three, so.
Wow. And I know, from what I understand, you don't know where she is
right,
now.
Yeah, we don't. Not at all. So, and even her foster mom doesn't, the foster parents that had her.
That you were staying in touch with.
Yeah, staying in touch with, yeah. So they have no, they don't know. So it's just been a lot of, like, I've had to grieve over that.
Yeah.
Like, even though I never met her. You know.
But so I'm not trying to compare this necessarily to a miscarriage because I know her life, she still has
right.
her life.
Right.
But you as a mama probably grieved her loss as mm-hmm. anyone would grieve a miscarriage mm-hmm. because you had now let your heart be open to her, that you thought that the Lord was calling you to do this. And for that door to be slammed shut, and now you don't know where this baby is. Mm-hmm. I can't, when you were telling me this, and then even when I asked you to go on the show, you're like, I don't have anything to update. Nothing's changed. I was like, oh, you have some updates, you know? And unfortunately, women, I feel like, that listen to this show still want to hear stories like this because yeah. there's still people walking. We have so many people on that come on after they've now adopted, after they've yeah. done foster care, after they've had their baby. And those stories are wonderful and need to be told. But I remember feeling that way, like, okay, well, I'm 4 years into this and I still don't have a baby. Mm-hmm. So I need to hear from people like that, you know?
Yeah.
And so I hate that happened. And it does make you wonder. I know I've even wondered that with John Micah, losing John Micah or our miscarriages, like, God, we thought this was a miracle. Like, we weren't even trying to have this baby boy. Why did, mm-hmm. and then you let him pass away? I don't understand. That seems cruel. And I feel like it would feel the same for you. Like, why'd you have to let me know about this baby? If this baby isn't right. ever going to come to my home. And I think we talked at maybe one of the Hannah's mm-hmm. Heart Hangouts, and it was like, what if it was just because she needed your prayers mm-hmm. at that time?
Right.
You know, and I don't know if we'll ever know this side of heaven.
Right.
If you'll ever meet her in person or not. But the fact that now, I'm sure you still pray for her
yeah.
daily, you
yeah.
know. So what does life look like now after not knowing where this sweet girl is now that you thought was possibly going to come live with you? Be your daughter, not
right,
even just live
yeah,
with you.
Yeah. Well, it really, you know, the fear of
yeah.
fostering and adopting was already there. So then it was, yes, let's do it.
Mm.
And then no. So now we're really at a place where
I can't go through that again.
Yeah. Like that's where I attach easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, I'm like, that would be my struggle is bring a child into my home, child gets taken mm-hmm. away. Like, mm-hmm. so that's kind of
well,
where I am.
It is a reality of foster care.
Right.
And, I think we've spoken about it, but Mississippi is a reunification mm-hmm. state. And I know she was in a different state.
Right.
But that means that the goal of foster care mm-hmm. in Mississippi is for them to reunite with biological
yes.
families. Obviously, that doesn't always happen. That is how mm-hmm. we adopted Mark. But that is the main goal, and you will can struggle for months and months and years and years. I mean, Mark was, mm-hmm. oh, goodness, how old was he? Oh, he was 2.5, I think. Yeah. Whenever he was officially adopted, mm-hmm. we had him in our home since he was 2 days old. And so all the things you have to walk through. So that's the reason why I encourage anyone, whether you're dealing with infertility or not, to give foster care a chance because
yeah.
we have these babies that need homes, these children mm-hmm. that need homes. But that's also why I tell people if you haven't walked through infertility and you try to say, like, you should just foster, fostering is not an answer for infertility.
Mm-hmm.
So now I totally get those hesitations, and it is hard. I've mm-hmm. had children leave my home.
Right.
And I was actually, though, talking to one of their moms this morning, though, because they came to Jane's birthday party the other day. And so, like, some of those relationships can happen and mm-hmm. become a beautiful family relationship, but not all the time.
Right.
We have another little boy who the family, you know, chose not to talk to us after he went back home, which is okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's always emotional walking through and knowing you were there during that time.
Yeah. But it's definitely not, definitely not a door that I'm just going to close, you know, because, if that's what the Lord wants, that's what the Lord wants. You know, he'll provide, he will, he'll guide us to the right child. And, but that is where, you know, that's where I am. Not saying, you know, right now I'd be like, no, I'm not doing it. It's just, there is fear.
Oh, right. Well, it's always going to be fear, I feel like, associated with anything like that. Because you're opening, like, your heart, mm-hmm. like, the way I feel like Jesus has commanded us to. But to know in the end, you might be hurt, you know. So where are y'all in fertility and where are y'all at now?
I mean, fertility, we have, we're not doing treatments right now. We're really, like I said earlier, we're just in a waiting season. We're waiting, we're praying and waiting, which I know when we talked, I was like, we're just still praying. You're like, well, that's, you know, actively waiting, I guess, is what you could say that we're doing. Because it's, waiting is hard, but I am thankful that in my waiting, I'm not alone.
That's true.
So I have, you know, in the past 2.5 years since I came on the last time, you know, the Lord has brought in a group of ladies that I do a Bible study with, and one of the ladies in that group, we literally are walking the same road.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have known, you know, I would not have known her had God not, you know, brought that into my life. So there's a lot of good things. And that friend, actually, I was talking to her Saturday, and she was like, think about, you know, what God has done for you in this time that you're waiting. And I sat there and I was like, okay, I started naming all the things that God's done, because he has done. He's done a lot. And I don't want to forget those things. I don't want to forget and fail to recognize.
Yeah, oh, that's
that
a good point.
In my waiting, he is there.
Right. And I feel like, at least from the stuff you share on Facebook sometimes with you and your husband, y'all actively wait together. You know, it's not like, and I know that might sound weird, but like the fact that you still do Christmas traditions and y'all are both active in your church and the children's children's ministry, and you're a school teacher. And so I feel like you're still pouring your mama heart out to even the children I know that go to your school have fallen in love with you, you know, and you can have that relationship because you let yourself open your heart to them. A lot of times I feel like it, as we struggle with infertility, miscarriage, adoption loss, it can be easy to close our hearts to those relationships. But I love watching you being available and being open to still letting yourself celebrate.
Yeah, because there was a time in the last 2.5 years where I was like closed up. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to do baby showers. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do birthday parties. I don't. And I was like, it's okay that I say no. Yeah. Like, I know what I can handle. And then I was, you know, got more into the word and more into my, you know, growing in my walk with the Lord. And he has given me the strength, you know, and I can, you know, I can rejoice with people, you know, who announce that they're having babies.
Right.
And I it still, you know, stings, but I can still celebrate, like you said, you know.
Lauren, we have 2 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Would you mind doing a short prayer for those still struggling with infertility and what steps to do next? All those, anything that comes to your heart in that area, will you do that?
Yes, I sure will. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Hannah's heart. We thank you for Kendra and Ann and what they mean to those of us who struggle with infertility, who struggle with miscarriage and child loss. And God, I just pray for the ladies and those who are listening who are still in that waiting period, Lord. We just we come before you and pray that you would give them the strength that they need each and every day to walk this journey that you've given them. I pray, Lord, that in the decisions that they have to make, that you would give them guidance and that you would give them all that they need to make those decisions that would ultimately be the decisions that you have guided them to and not decisions that they make on their own, Lord, because we know that we cannot do anything apart from you. We cannot be anything apart from you. And Lord, I just pray that for each and every person listening, that they would, if they're still in that waiting period, that they would just lean into you, that they would get into your word and grow in their relationship with you and watch you do great and mighty things in their lives, Lord. And we just ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Lauren, thank you so much for coming on today and just sharing. Even though you felt like you didn't have anything to update, I think you had some updates to do. So I appreciate you coming on, even though your story doesn't look the way that you even wanted it to just yet. So I want to ask everyone to pray for Lauren and her hubby, and that's what we're going to do. I thank y'all for listening and watching Hannah's Heart, and we'll see you next week.